Hallelujah. Hold someone's hand. Let's say it together. Our Father, this morning, we stand in one accord to receive revelation, instruction that is found in the knowledge of your Son Jesus. We receive our inspiration only from the truth that is found in Him. We behold Him as He sees us in Him. He is glorified. We are edified. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now this morning we want to look at supernatural boldness, or boldness supernatural. Boldness supernatural. And in Philemon 6, you know, we need to make a distinction between what we are naturally and what we are supernaturally. Naturally and supernaturally. Now, I really want you to pay very good attention to this. And I believe throughout this week, though we have other teachers we're going to listen to during our fast, I want you to listen to the first and second services, that is this morning and then the second service throughout the week as well. I want you to really listen to things I want to share with you on this level. Now, Philemon 6 says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ. Now, notice that Paul was praying. He was praying. Verse 4 says, I thank my God, making mention of you, of thee, always in my prayers. And so, verse 6 is a prayer. Now, whenever you see something being prayed about by Paul or by anybody, it means you have to pray about it. You get my point? If you see that, it means you have to pray about it because it's prayed for. Now, before we go there, because I really want you to get this very clear, in Joshua chapter 1, where Joshua just took over the mantle of leadership. Joshua 1. Now verse 1 says, now after the death of Moses, servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan thou and all these people unto the land which I do give them to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I have said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, to the river Euphrates, and the land of Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down the sun, shall be your coast. Now look at verse 5. It says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I'll not fail you, nor forsake you. That's a bit similar to what we're about to read later in Hebrews 13:5. I'll not fail you, nor forsake you. What he means is, I will not leave you, I will not abandon you, I will forsake you. Then he says, be strong. I thought if God speaks like that, that's all the way. But he says, be strong. In other words, I'm going to act on what he said. He says, be strong and of good courage unto these people, that thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto thy fathers to give them. Only thou be strong and be courageous. Notice that he says, be strong. And that's a double emphasis. He says, be strong and be courageous. There are things that God will not do for you. He is going to give you the capacity to do it, but you're going to do it. Just like Ephesians 6 and 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You're going to do that. You're the one that will be strong. It's an instruction. It is a, and the Lord is your strength. He is your strength. But he says, be strong. Hallelujah. All right. So God gives his word, and he gives his promise, if you like. And he says, be strong. Come up and say, well, but God said, I'll be with you. God said, I gave it to you. What happened? No, he also said, be strong. Hallelujah. God doesn't just act without human cooperation. We're going to do a bit of that next week. I'm going to do some study with you next week, the first and second service. You act on his word. You got to act. Hallelujah. You got to act on it. We'll come to that. So, look at Paul's prayers. Get back there in the Philemon 6. I just want to see something that God gave his word, as it were, in that instance. And then he says, be strong. You know, well, I give it all to you, Lord. Do as you will. I'll just stay here and be a spectator. No. Like, I wouldn't just care. I wouldn't just act on anything. So, you know, you don't just say, God said it, and God called me to the ministry, and God spoke. No. He said, you got to be strong. We'll see what that means in a moment. And Philemon 6 says, I remember Gloria Copeland said this years ago. She said, many times, and that was, I think it was 1997 that I had her say this. She said, many times we're waiting on God. Why exactly God waiting on us? Because he's giving his word. He's fulfilled his promise. You've got to act. No, that's really true. Praise the Lord. Philemon 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual, that's a prayer, by the acknowledging. Look at all the prayers of the apostles. See how they pray. In 3 John 2, John is praying for Gaius. He says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. The word prosper, this is the word eudo, E-U-D-O-O. The word E-U, when you say the word E-U, many times in the Greek it means well, that you do well. And, you know, that word eudo, it's not physical prosperity, because we've seen what it meant. We've done that study before. Paul, using Romans 1:10, said you have a great journey. We had to do with the fact that he was coming to them to preach that I have a prosperous journey, that I may come to you by the will of God. Romans 15, verse 30, 31, 32 clarifies that. But again, in 1 Corinthians 16, too, he says, let each man lay in store as he has prospered. So that's physical prosperity. So the word hudo can mean both physical and non-physical. However, in 3 John 2, by the time you read it in context, obviously he's talking about spiritual growth. And he says that thou mayest prosper and be in health. And the word health is the word hugaino, H-U-G-A-I-N-O. That is, you're making spiritual progress. You're making spiritual progress, even as thy soul prospers. The word hugaino, you could note this down, was used in the four Gospels, in Luke 5:31, for being well, physical wellness. Luke 7:10, and Luke 15:27, the parable of the prodigal son, as we say, I saw safe and sound. However, in the epistles, and this is instructive, Paul used it strictly for things that are spiritual. In 1 Timothy 1:10, he calls it sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 1:10. Sound doctrine. The word hugaino means sound. Sound. Sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 6:3, same thing. Sound words, wholesome words. 2 Timothy 1:13, same thing. Sound words, wholesome words. 2 Timothy 4:3, they will no longer endure sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:13. So 4:3. I'll take it again. 1 Timothy 1:10. 1 Timothy 6:3. 2 Timothy 1:13. 2 Timothy 4:3, you no longer endure sound doctrine. Titus 1:9, that he'll be able, by sound doctrine, he's able to exhort and to correct those who are gainsaying the gospel. Titus 1:9, Titus 1:13, Titus 2:1 and 2, sound in faith, sound in speech. Titus 1:9, Titus 1:13, Titus 2:1, Titus 2:2. So therefore, the prayer of Paul for, sorry, did I say Paul again? John, did John? Yeah. John for Gaius is that Gaius be a sound believer. That is wholesome. He's a strong believer. That's the prayer. Now, look at Paul's prayer. Why am I saying this? You see in a moment that there's a huge difference between what you are mentally and what you are naturally to what you are spiritually. You can have a very brilliant Christian academically who is not sound spiritually. I was talking to someone the other day and I said, you have been reading a whole lot of books. A whole lot of books to gather knowledge. Books, 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 books. And you are very intelligent because we got into an intelligent discussion. And I like to engage people in intelligent discussion myself. I said, it's fine. You're talking very intelligently. But you are not sound spiritually. You are making a lot of sense. But you are not sound spiritually. So you can have people have something in the natural. Just like a fellow can be rich materially and he is poor spiritually. Jesus said that in Revelation when he said, you said I have no need, but you are naked, miserable, and poor. And so you can have that. So when they pray, and yes, Paul, John is praying firstly for Gaius. From the look of things, from the a bit of the facts you can gather from the epistles, Gaius looks like a comfortable fellow. He's gotten things. He hosts the church. He's, if Peter recognized him, Paul made mention of him, and then you see John. So everyone seems to know him. You know, he's a giver and stuff like that. But that does not mean he is sound spiritually. In other words, you can be very well accomplished in nature, but that's mean you're spiritually sound. And so he's praying for him that he is sound spiritually. Are you following what I'm saying here? You follow what I'm saying here? Okay, good. So now Paul again is praying for the church, Ephesians 1, let's see it. He's praying for the church. Then he says, Ephesians 1 now, before we go to Philemon. Ephesians 1. Notice the prayer. The power of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:16 to 17, that he may grant you the spirit of wisdom, verse 17, and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, when it says the spirit of wisdom and revelation, it's to say wisdom and revelation of the spirit. That's what he means. Wisdom, there is the word Sophia, which is used for insight. Some people use it for intelligence. That is, when you know something, then it becomes like a skill for you. Like whatever Sophia is used, it's also used for like an advantage. Something you know, and it becomes an advantage for you. He says wisdom, then he says revelation. The word revelation is the word apocalypsis, you know that, which means to uncover. Apocalypse. Wisdom and revelation, watch this, in the knowledge of him. Now, the word knowledge is the word epignosis, E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S. Epignosis is a definite or certain facts facts about God. You can have experience about God. And then some of them can be false experiences. There are people who believe God did what God did not do. And all through their life, that's the experience they have. They carry that knowledge all through their life. So, but here he says epignosis. Exact, precise knowledge of the certain facts about God in Christ. So Paul is praying that the eyes of your understanding is being enlightened, that you may know. So epignosis is specific, that you may know. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. That you may know. Now, I believe that Ephesus will have professors there. They will have very intelligent people. Why would you pray for intelligent people to know? That means what we're talking about is spiritual. That you may know. The eyes of understanding being enlightened. Look at Philippians 1. The kind of prayer I get. Philippians 1. Before you go there, in 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, this is the will of God, that it is that all men will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Epignosis there again. The knowledge of the truth. Philippians 1:9. You're going to pray. If Paul prays this way, then you have to pray that way. Philippians 1. Still out there? Are you still out there? Philippians 1:9. Watch this. He says, and I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. He's not saying your niceness. You can be a nice guy. Hallelujah. One guy asked me, he said, what is the difference between when an unbeliever gives and a believer gives? So I said, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 together. Where Paul says, even though I feed the poor and give my body to be burned, and I have not love. Why would someone, is it possible to give your body to be burned and give food to feed the poor and you don't have love? Is that possible? And I told the fellow, I said, because when Paul used love, this is what agape, it means that I am doing this for no other reason or motive outside that person. I'm not trying to gain public weight. I'm not trying to show that I am humane. I'm not trying to show that I love humanity. I'm not trying to show that I have the love of people at heart. I'm doing it without condition. That's what God did in Christ. He isn't doing it to gain weight. He isn't doing it for anything. God didn't give us a son to become more godish. No. And so you have people who they give to the poor to assuage their conscience. They give to the poor to show people they're doing. They give to the poor to even show that humanity. They call it humanity. This is just humanity. So within that reason, it's selfishness. It's still about self. Hallelujah. So you can give all that. And then, it's not love. He said, let your love, Philippians 1:9, abound. He says, in knowledge. The knowledge there is the word epignosis again. Then he says, discernment. The word discernment here, which is the word judgment, is the Greek word aisthesis, A-I-S-T-H-E-S-I-S, from where you have the word astronomia. I'll spell it for you. A-S-T-H-A-N-O-M-A. A-S-T-H-A-N-O-M-A, which is in Luke 9:45, where you have that root word, is the very opposite of a guesswork or assumption. A guesswork. That is, your love is rock solid. Your love is defined. And when people walk in love in knowledge, the response of those you love is irrelevant. Because you're not second guessing. It's irrelevant. God, in His omniscience, knew people were going to reject Him. He knew people are going to speak to Him. He knew girls are going to reject what He's going to do. He did it anyway. So, the moment your love is, you know, second guessing, it's not saying, "Well, let me just try. Let me just see this. Let me just no." He says, "Your love will abound in knowledge." So do not equate your nication, allow me to use that word, before you got saved to the love of God. That nication. You know how you buy ice cream and you share it with people in your class? That kind of love. Sometimes it's for a particular girl whose desk is far from yours. Amen. You probably buy two. She didn't ask you to buy it. You take it to her. So no, there's no string attached. No string attached. It's just a whole lot of ropes. You know how you do stuff like that? No, do not equate that. Don't equate the way you are so nice and you are so, you know, everybody in your street knows you are very nice. That's not the love of God. If you can see that as good, you are yet to see the work of the cross. You mustn't find anything good in what you did without the Spirit of God. You mustn't find anything. So, he says it will grow. Then he says that you may approve the things that are excellent. The word approve is the word dokimazo. It means you are able to test things. Your love is solid. When you find people walking in love by knowledge, it does not get discouraged. Because the love is not self-motivated. He didn't come from feelings. You know, of course, when you love the kinds of love, you love your wife, some feelings, or your husband, you feel good and stuff like that. You know, when you love, you sometimes you just miss your wife, you miss your husband, you miss your kids, and vice versa, and you want to have lunch, and stuff like that. That's not wrong, that. You know, you feel that way. But that's not the kind of love we're talking about here. This is not about feeling. It is in discernment. No second guessing. So, Paul is praying that your love will abound in exact knowledge. In Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Don't forget, we said that. It means that what he's dealing with is spiritual. Colossians 1. Verse 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Watch that. He says, wisdom. Sophia again. Remember Sophia? Remember Sophia? What did I call Sophia? Huh? That gives you skill. What do you call it? Insight. That makes you look skillful, like an advantage. So if I see an unbeliever who is doing nice things, the love of God in me is different from what he's doing. So I have an advantage. I know what true love is. So he's saying here that, here, he says, spiritual understanding. The word understanding is the word sunesis. S-U-N-E-S-I. Sunesis often is used for being clever. Being clever. You see that in Mark 12:33 and Luke 2:47 and 1 Corinthians 1:19. Spiritual understanding. You know how some guys are just very skillful. They seem to know what you don't know. Something like that. They're very clever and very smart, you know. They're just smart. They know how to adjust. I know guys like that. They know how to adjust. There's a man like that that, I'm talking in the natural now, there's a man like that that we used to work together in the same organization. He owned the organization, so I was his vice president. It was a business organization. The man was so intelligent. I mentioned it when I was teaching about material prosperity. And we had an appointment one time at one major office in Nigeria. And when I say major office, I mean very, very, very major office in Nigeria. And I just called him the morning. I said, I can't come to Abuja, but you have to go, sir. I said, oh, Shaku, you didn't tell me any stuff like that. He's a Muslim. He said, what would I do? I said, sir, we cannot miss his appointment. If we miss his appointment, it'll take us the next 3 months. I said, what's my cover? He just went to the bathroom and he got out. He practically had no knowledge of what I asked him to go do. As I said, I'm on the phone. So when you do this, and then I said, just let me go. And he goes there. And he beats all the security checks. Because normally you take passes to go through. He found a way, and he didn't tell a lie. He went through, and through, he threw. How he did it? I didn't say anything. He goes in there, he's clever. He beats the system. Not fraudulently. He goes there, and he makes the appointment. He sees the person. And then he comes out. He said, what in the world have you put me through? I said, because it is you. I knew you'd do it. I knew you'd do it. That's being clever. So he says, there's also spiritual understanding. Where you are clever. You are smart. And when you see people that are spiritually smart, you can't carry them, you can't see them in bottles of oil, calling it the Holy Spirit. They will just be laughing. They don't have to mock you, but they just force that. You know. And it's not pride or arrogance. It's just that they're clever. They know how to go about it. They also know how to beat the devil. See that in a moment. Beat the devil in the devil's streets. Hallelujah. You can be smart. Years ago, when I was a younger Christian, a younger person as well, my dad and I had this issue about me not doing the work of the ministry. That was initially. And so, I discovered that he was always around when I had some particular meeting. So, I was wondering, this man doesn't stay home. How come he's around this time? So, I prayed a little bit more, and I discovered that there was a friend of his that made him always stay around at that time. So I knew where the issue was. You know what I did? I dealt with a friend. So he wasn't staying around anymore. I was able to go and do my ministry, and they had their own fun. And Jesus is glorified. You're just being clever. You just know what happened. What exactly happened? When you're spiritually clever and smart, you don't say, God, wow. God, wow. Over 3,000 years after Job, you are still talking like Job. Noah. There are things that are not clear to man. It's because you are not clever. You don't have understanding. And so Paul says, I'm praying for you. That you have spiritual understanding. Remember we said that these are spiritual things. That you have spiritual understanding. Then he says, Colossians 1. That you might walk worthy, he says there, of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So, notice that these things are spiritual. So, what it means is that Paul's prayer, which is my prayer for myself, is for the capacity of the believer in Christ to become effective. You know, you can have a device that you have never turned on before. It's there, it's yours, but you have never turned it on before. It's there. It's yours. But you have never turned it on before. And because you've never turned it on before, you will live and act like someone who doesn't have it at all. So, whatever Paul is praying about, you can call that the potential or the resident ability of every believer. In other words, prayer makes this ability available for use. Prayer will be my making use of the abilities that I have in Christ. Are you following this? Are you following this? In other words, every believer should be clever, spiritually. Every believer should be filled. Every believer has the capacity to be clever. But you see, when you don't pray this prayer, then you have other things you feed upon. You feed upon. You watch things that you don't need. You watch them. It's good to be a sports person. I'm a sports person myself. I have things I watch daily, you know. But then you look at that and you say, you compare your exposure to the Word of God to other things you read, other things you watch, and you're wondering why you are not spiritually intelligent. You can't be. Because you do not expose yourself to spiritual reality. You gotta expose yourself to spiritual reality. Find out who you are in Christ. Find out. And do not just, like Brother Kenneth Hagin would say, E.W. Kenyon, most importantly, do not just mentally assent to it. Mental assent looks like faith. Mental assent to say, I can see it. It is true. I can see it in scripture. But it will never act on it. Mental assent will say, mental assent will say, it's true. I can read it. I know it. You think you do. But when it's time to act on it, mental assent has more faith in its senses than this reality. So you can mentally agree. But deep down your heart, you're not acting upon it. So, as a believer, we have a responsibility to act on the word. Remember we said, Joshua was told, you got to be strong. And be courageous. So, these things, getting on it, they are spiritual. Philemon 6. Are you in church? Are you still there? Philemon 6. You gotta pray. You gotta pray this way for yourself a lot of times. A lot of times. Philemon 6. That the communication of that faith, the word communication there is the word koinonia, where you have fellowship. Whenever you have koinonia, it means to share, to make available. Look at Acts 2:42, talking about fellowship, that is, believers were available for one another. Acts 2:42, the word fellowship, let's run through it. Acts 15:26 is used for giving material things. So that means when you see a believer whose fellowship, as we're going to see, is not effective. That is, today is like this, tomorrow is after a program. Somebody was telling me, say, I wish camp meeting never ended. I said, you think that's an excitement, a good statement to me? That's a very stupid statement. Camp meeting is not your Christian life. Camp meeting is like someone say, I wish you don't graduate from school. We'll just come. Let me give you a hug. Let's just be staying in this class. Let's just be learning. And then what? You want to be an eternal student? No, you don't go out of camp meeting. Then act on the word. Hallelujah. Then act on the word. Praise the Lord. So it says that the communication of your faith may become effectual. The word communication again is the word koinonia. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, Paul says we are called to the fellowship of the Son. In other words, what the Son has given. 1 Corinthians 1:9. 1 Corinthians 10:16, two times is used in there for fellowship, on the fellowship on the Lord's table. 2 Corinthians 6:14, what fellowship? A light with darkness. Light with darkness. That is, what do they have in common? So, fellowship means what is common, what's available. So, you discover that you are very averse in other things. You're knowledgeable in tech, that's technology. You're knowledgeable in financial details. You're a medical doctor, you're doing very well in your field. You are a very good instructor as a teacher, lecturer. You handle cars, you repair them, and everybody talks well about you, that guy is an excellent guy. He does that fine. But see, that's not the fellowship of the faith. That's common to your profession, but what's common to the faith is not your career. They are spiritual realities. And so he said, then look at the 2 Corinthians 8:4, about giving. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, partnership, commonness of the Spirit. Galatians 2:9, he gave us the right hand of fellowship. Philippians 1:5, fellowship of the gospel. Philippians 3:10, the fellowship of his suffering. Hebrews 13:16, to do good, communicate, fellowship, give. 1 John 1:3, 6, and 7, our fellowship is with the Father, that you may have fellowship with us. 1 John 1:6 and 7 as well. So I'll take it again. Acts 2:42, Romans 15:26, 1 Corinthians 1:9. 1 Corinthians 10:16, two times. 2 Corinthians 6:14, okay? 2 Corinthians 8:4, 2 Corinthians 13:14. If there is a fellowship there, it means what you are giving or what you are contributing. Galatians 2:9, Philippians 1:5, Philippians 3:10, Hebrews 13:16, 1 John 1:3, 1 John 1:6, 1 John 1:7. So every time you see the word fellowship, that is what God is giving or what the believer is given based on what God has given. Now, go to Philippians 6 again. He said that your fellowship may become effectual. The word effectual is an adjective that describes a noun. It's the word effective. In other words, your fellowship may not be effective. You can be given, you can be demonstrating the faith. You can be given to other believers, but it's not effective. You can have a believer who is serving, and he's excited about serving, but then he's not effective. That's why Paul in Romans 14 verse 2 or verse 1 talks about those who are weak in faith. When he says weak in faith, it means weak in that fellowship. He's weak. He's weak. How does somebody who is weak? Today is up, tomorrow is down. Today is up, tomorrow is down. When you see some people, as you join the local church, they are just active. Some guys are just active. You know, some people are just active. Anything they do, they are active. Anything. Good, bad, neutral, evil. They are just very active. If you see them in their estate where they live, they are active there. You see them in their village association, they are active. If they form union in their office, they are active. You get it? They are always active. So when they come to church, they are also active. Praise the Lord. I'm going to the pastor. Yes. What are we doing about cleaning the church? We should do it very well. Every Sunday, every Friday. Or what? I want to join the prayer groups. Amen. You know, they're just like, they're just like that. You know. And that's how some guys are just, when they hear the word of God, maybe they've been hearing religious things. When they say religious, you know what I mean? When they've been hearing some funny things. You hear the word, and they just throw everything. And I know that. I tell them that they'll soon calm down. You don't live the Christian life that way. You still have to calm down someday. So they're just acting. They're just acting. Go and see them generally. They're just like that. But then he says there are some who are weak. Because they can start today, stop tomorrow. He says, Sister Janet, what's happening? I didn't see you at the zonal meeting. Yes. Why? Just thinking about some things. Were you not thinking before when you were angry? Just thinking about something. Don't worry. Everything will be fine. You are weak. Admit that. Brother, so. Just last month, you were doing evangelism all over. You even evangelized in the service. What's going on? I'm still in the faith. Who asks you whether you're in the faith? I'm still in the faith. I'm there. Nothing is wrong with my faith. I just want to handle things. Some things that are personal to me and between me and God. You are weak. Spiritual growth reveals consistency. When you see somebody that is not consistent, he is not growing. I'm going to handle a lot of that in the second verse. In Romans 15:1 talks about we bear the infirmities of the weak. So it's an adjective that describes your conduct. And whenever people begin, whenever they are weak like that, they begin to throw spiritual tantrums. Tantrums all over the place. You'll be frowning your face. What's going on? Nothing. But the Bible says it's only the wicked man that had net escape. Nothing. It's just a phase of my life. And you know, you are a weak Christian. Don't dress up your carnality. You are weak. Imagine God just says, "Say, God, what's going on?" It's personal. It's just personal. I'm not No issues, but I just want to be private. I just want to be myself. I just want to stay. Hallelujah. Are you still there? The word effective means that it is energized, not lacking in strength. So if Paul was praying like that, I need to pray like that for myself. Don't rely on serving the Lord to keep serving the Lord. Rely on the power of God to keep serving the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Don't rely on your physical strength. Remember we said earlier, this is a spiritual thing. On your physical strength. Rely on the power of God. Said you are energized. So Paul's prayers was for everybody. Irrespective of who you are. Irrespective of how long you have been a Christian. Irrespective of how far you've gone as a believer. Irrespective whether you are a pastor. We know people who used to pastor and are no longer pastoring. Is that not true? Is that not true? Come on, is that not true? I was talking with someone like that. I said he was criticizing some things, you know. Then he had started mingling with atheists. And then they were saying that many things in Christianity are illusions. They believe that what we call the inward witness is your subconscious picking up impressions of information that had gotten before. So I called him. I said, Bros, you and I know ourselves. Leave all that story. These ones are strangers from the Commonwealth. You and I, we know ourselves. I mentioned the year. I said in Agbowo, when you, myself, and the third person, we collected someone's crutches right in front of everybody. Was it an illusion? He said, no, I'm not saying that. I said, hold on, I'm not done with you. You and I. Who was illusioned? Us? The guy? Or people watching? No. Did we package it? He said, of course not. Was it our subconscious? He said, no. Are you telling me that you have never had a supernatural direction where you were warned of something you never heard of or knew? He said, I have. He said, you are only fiddling with knowledge. Proverbs 18:1 says, a man through desire separates himself, then begins to fiddle with all kinds of knowledge. That's what you are doing with yourself. You are the one in illusion because you are denying what you know. Why is it like that? A fellow who used to pray in tongues 24 hours. Who used to study the word. But his pursuit for knowledge. Because he has a PhD in one of the medical fields. Now got him to read other things. He allowed his career to be his passion. That's foolishness. Don't allow what you hear in the university become your perception. They are still searching. And you will be a guinea pig or what they are saying. Who's following what I'm saying this morning? Are you following what I'm saying this morning? But why would a believer be like that? He has stopped praying those prayers. And sometimes we stop praying for people those prayers because we think that they are already solid. After you stop praying those prayers, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual, energized. Hallelujah. Nobody knows your spiritual health like you. I'll tackle that more in the second sentence. Nobody knows your spiritual health like you. So you have to keep praying those prayers for yourself. If you are a couple, be praying it for your spouse. Be praying it for your children. Be praying it for your parents, for your cousins. Never think there's... And I'm telling you from personal experience. I used to have a friend who, I just discovered that, you know, he wasn't taking the work of ministry seriously in his Christian life and stuff like that. And I became just angry. I was just angry and angry and angry. What do you mean? Because this was someone who, I mean, we used to communicate to ourselves in Greek and Hebrew language in Bible study. Who sometimes would study together for 2-3 days, and it was so exciting. We'd pray. I was in Ibadan yesterday, and I took some guys to where we used to have Holy Ghost meetings. I said, this was where we had Vacation Bible School 1998. It was in Alumni Center. I said, we're there. I said, on this spot, we had at least 50 Holy Ghost meetings. This place. Yeah? I said, yeah. Now they are doing romance there. So this spot, he was part of that. But suddenly, I got angry with him. Then his elder brother told me something. He said, you are only being sentimental. He asked me a question. I couldn't answer. He said, when last did you pray the Pauline prayers for him? He said, you assume he doesn't need those prayers. And that's true. Pray those prayers. For yourself. Because what we are talking about are spiritual realities. Pray for yourself. Pray for people. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Service becomes effective when the fellow has the precise knowledge, which is spiritual in nature. And that's what Paul is praying. So Paul is praying for everybody. Everybody. Remember, we're talking about supernatural boldness. He's praying for everybody. So learn to pray these prayers for yourself. Pray. See, we need to understand the power of prayers beyond asking for things. It's like reducing your car to the CD player. That the only reason why you go into your car, pay attention here, is to play the CD. They say that, oh, bah. Yes, he has a very high powered CD player. Oh, or MP3 player. Yeah, hey, then switch it off. Go and take BRT. And the car is parked there. You are enjoying the music. And it's still tear rubber. In fact, the rubber is still there. Someone said, let's go to Benin. Hey, I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to get there. That's similar to using prayer just for things. Paul is praying that you're imagining most believers were praying this prayer. For effectiveness, insight, walking in God's will and plan, walking in love. But if they are not praying about one woman in their village, how can you be praying and somebody is showing to you? Showing. The person on your mind is one old woman or somebody in your office. And you are praying, and you are getting more angry as you are praying. The preacher is coming. It means you are abusing the privilege of prayer. Look at what Paul says you pray about. Pray that you will know and you are strengthened. Go back to Joshua 1. You learning something here? Are you learning something here? Joshua 1. He says, be thou strong and courageous. Imagine, I will be with you, but be strong. Joshua 1, 6 and 7. Be strong. The word strong is the word amits in the Hebrew. A-M-E-T-S. What does it mean? It means you don't yield. You don't yield. Sorry, that's the word courage. Sorry. The word courage is what amidst. You don't yield. That means you cannot be bent. You are unbroken. They just be strong. The word chazak. C-H-A-Z-A-C-A-Q. It means you are firm. You are firm. See, he says, I am with you, but you have to be what? Unyielding. Every believer has the indwelling of the Spirit. Every believer has God's presence abiding with them in him. But not every believer is strong. He says you have to be strong. And when he says you have to be strong, he's not talking about strong will. No. Hear it well. But just be strong will. Sometimes just strong will. Stubbornness. No. He's not referring here to a physical trait. No. No, not at all. I grew up before I received the gospel. There are two things I discovered about myself before I received the gospel. I discovered that I used to give up easily. I just give up. I won't drag it with you. I didn't want trouble. And I was extremely shy. I could never face. And there was a time I won a disco competition. I only faced the judges. I could not face everybody. And I won the disco competition. They were going to give me the prize. I still could not face everybody to collect the prize. If you come and ask me a question about something I said, the way I would deny it, you will apologize to me. So, what I discovered in the life of God, that trait is not there. That in the life of God, we have the power of God. Where we have strength and unyieldness. Hallelujah. It's not a natural thing that, in our family, we don't take nonsense. No, no, no. I'm not in your family. And Christ is not in your family. We're talking about something spiritual here. Are you there? Are you still there? He says, be strong. Look at Luke 21 verse 16. You discover that what he's talking about here, when he said, pay attention here. The next thing he says in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You will meditate. Now, the word meditate there, he used in verse 8, Joshua 1, is the word agar. It means to roar. To speak loud. So when he says be strong and be courageous, he's talking about in your words. Our boldness is not in our strong will. It's in our speech. You may not have a strong will. Have strong words. Are you there? So when he says, be strong, says this book should not depart from your mouth. So this has nothing to do with strong will. The will is in the word. The strong will is in the word. Rather than working on your resoluteness, work on the word being on your lips. All the time. All the time. Look at this. Luke 21. You learn something? You learn something here? Luke 21, 15. I'll start from 12. He says, but before all this, they shall lay their hands on you, not to minister to you, and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and to the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. It shall turn to you for a testimony. It shall turn to you for a testimony. The word turn to you here, watch this. It means it will come out of you for a testimony. It's the word apobaino. A-P-O-B-A-I-N-O. It refers to something coming out of you. Coming out of you. You'll see it in Luke 5:2, John 21:9, and Philippians 1:19. It will turn out. It will come out of you. Watch this. In the midst of persecution, it's saying here, a testimony. The word testimony there is the word witness. Maturion. It means to bear evidence. M-A-R-T-U-R-I-O-N. What does it mean by all this? To bear witness. That is, they oppose you. And then they bring you before kings. People that they weigh in authority. That naturally when you see them, you first become powder. Except, but you see, when they bring you before people that you should naturally shiver. He said, it shall come out of you. What will come out of you will be a witness. Look at the next verse, he says. Settle it therefore in your heart. The word he uses here is tightening. It means be fixed in your mind. Be fixed in your mind. Not to meditate. I love this. Before what you will answer. That is, you will not start to think, to imagine, what should I say? What should I say? You know, by the time you do that, you are thinking of an answer. Well, what should I say? How should I say it? If I say it like this, they'll say it like that. I said, no. In other words, don't use the flesh. Don't. Now, if you're a lawyer, you can't apply this scripture in the law court. That's why I said, what he's dealing with here is supernatural. So he said, you wouldn't begin to think, what should I say? How should I put it across? What should I? No, no. He said, no. Watch this. Look at the next thing he says. What you will answer. Then he says, for I will give you. Now the word, he says, you won't meditate before. It's the word promelitao. P-R-O-M-E-L-E-T-A-O. Which is used for thinking ahead. When you ponder over something before the day. Or before the time. You see that word in 2 Corinthians 12:19. You won't think about it. Okay? You won't meditate before you answer. The word answer is the word before you make a defense. Talking to preachers now. Before you make a defense, I know. If they bring any persecution against you, then you won't think. You won't think before you bring a defense. However, look at the next statement. I'll give you a mouth and a wisdom. Say, I have the mouth. And I have the wisdom. The word mouth there is not like your mouth will have two. It's the word stoma, speech. Speech. Then he calls it insight. Remember the word Sophia? Insight. A mouth. A mouth, speech. The believer's boldness is in words. The response, supernatural response to opposition. I'll give you a mouth, speech, and he calls that speech insight, intelligence, insight. Look at what he says next. Which all your adversaries shall not be able
to resist it.
Hallelujah. Luke 12. Verse 12. I'll start from 11. When they bring you unto synagogues, the magistrates, powers, take you no thought how or what things you shall answer or what you shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you the same hour what you shall say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What you shall say. What you shall say. Glory to God. Look at Ephesians 6. So our boldness is not in our strong effort. Our mind, strong mind, I have a strong mind. No. Our boldness is in our speech. Our speech. Ephesians 6. Verse 19. So when you find believers in situations where they are facing opposition, while they ought to be praying, they are thinking. No. Watch this. You see something in the moment. You know, we started by talking about the effectiveness of prayer. Praying to walk in who you are. To make the... See, Jesus says, I have given you, or I give you a mouth and a wisdom. That's what he said. And see Paul, Ephesians 6:19. Paul says, pray for us. Hallelujah. Verse 19. Let's take it together. Ephesians 6:19. Let's go. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of it. I'm going to ask a question. Is Paul praying so that he will know the gospel? No. But to open my mouth boldly. The word there is the word parousia. P-A-R-R-E-S-I-A. Many times it's also called confidence. It is used for speaking plainly without reservation. Plain speaking. It's used for public declaration. When you say something plainly, openly. And Paul is saying, pray. In the four Gospels, you'll find it 10 times. Use confidence to say something plainly, no reservations. Unqualified statement. I am so and so. I can do so and so. You cannot do so and so. You can't hurt me. I cannot be moved. Not, I don't want to be moved though. I trust the Lord. I cannot be moved. I am a child of God. I am healed by the power of God. Nothing goes wrong. You know, that is plain speaking. I am the righteousness of God. I am born of the Spirit. No, that's parousia. Not a by His grace. No, that's not parousia. Parousia is to say it plainly that nobody will mistake what you have said. You remember those three Hebrew children? They said to Nebuchadnezzar, "We are not careful to answer you, okay? For our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. And He will yet deliver us." That is parousia. Not, Father God, name of Jesus, name of Jesus, name of Jesus, Jesus. Intervene, intervene. O King, don't do this. Don't do this. No, no. They spoke plainly. Paul says, so I may speak boldly. That means I'm with atheists, I'm with Shintoists, I'm with Buddhists, Muslims, but I'm speaking plainly. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I don't know, the professors are laughing at you. He died for our sin. You know what? That's a parousia. You cannot meet what I've said is so clear. Hallelujah. Watch this now. In Acts 2:29. This is Peter who couldn't in any way admit that he knew Jesus. Acts 2:29. Men and brethren, can you imagine? He faced everybody. Let me freely speak unto you. Oh my God. Let me speak plainly to you. That's boldness. In Acts 4:13, they were amazed. The elders and the council, they said, knowing that these are unlearned men, no degree, no Bible school training. And they see that they spoke boldly. That they were not trying to say it one way. Then they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. In Acts 4:29, they prayed. The church, look at it, Acts 4:29. They prayed. When they were threatened, they now prayed. Lord, now behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Was it answered? Yes, verse 31. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with what? Boldness. No reservation. In Acts 28:31, that's Paul. Preaching the kingdom of God. This is under incarceration. And teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. So say all confidence. Hallelujah. Is this natural or supernatural? Talk to me, church. Supernatural. In 2 Corinthians 3 verse 12, we say great plainness of speech. Boldness of speech. 2 Corinthians 7:4. In Ephesians 3:12, she says we have boldness in Christ and access in Him. In Philippians 1:20. Philippians 1:20. Paul. That in nothing I shall be ashamed. All boldness as always. Hallelujah. Look at that. Why? Because in 19, he says they are praying for him. For the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We'll see that shortly, where that applies. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. Same thing about those who are deacons. He says, for they that use the office of the deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Boldness is they speak confidently about the faith. In Philemon 8, as somebody corrected me. Philemon 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Philemon 8. Hebrews 3:6. Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16 says to the man who has not received the gospel to come boldly before the throne of God, that he may receive. To speak plainly. That means it's in God's invitation. It's in God's interaction for people to speak plainly and speak boldly. In 1 John 5:14, it says, this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to you. Boldness. Parousia. In 1 John 4:17, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we. So the believer's boldness is in his word. The word that you use in defense of the gospel. The words you use before an opposition, before an adversary. So it's not in the heart. It's in word. To Joshua, he says, you will meditate day and night. You will be strong and be courageous in your words. Jesus told the disciples, he said, in that day you will not start to think, what should I say? For you will find words, supernaturally enabled words. Paul says, pray for me that I may speak the right thing. Plainly. Look at Acts 14. Verse 3. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. What's that? By their hands. They spoke boldly. A version said they spoke audaciously. Audacious speaking. To say, I dare say that God is in me. I dare say, hallelujah, that I can never be defeated. I dare say, hallelujah. That is, you find a situation that comes against you, you say, I dare say. You are not thinking. You don't have to meditate. Well, if I look at that issue, no, no, no. I dare say I am God's righteousness. I dare say, hallelujah, that I fulfill my course with joy. I dare say, hallelujah, to dare to say it. You may not have strong will, but you have the strong will of God. Hallelujah. You have the strong will of God. Put that will of God in your mouth. I dare say. So nobody is trying to gauge what you have said. It's so clear what you have said. Glory to God. Glory to God. One time a doctor told me, he said, you need so, so, and so, and so. This kind of case. I said, I will be healed. The guy says, you don't know what I'm saying? I said, no, sir. You don't understand what I'm saying. When I was saying that, my mind was going, are you crazy? You want to make yourself a mockery of medical science. So they were not words I thought. They were words of the Spirit of God. Words of confidence and boldness. Because you're not bragging on you. You're bragging on God. I dare say. Hallelujah. I dare say. I dare say that I have the wisdom of God. I dare say that I am not confused. Sir, you are confused, young man. I am not confused, sir. Hallelujah. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going to end up. I know what will happen. And your man is telling you, are you where? What do you know? What do you know? I know what will happen. I dare say. With that confidence. With that confidence. For a preacher of the gospel, Paul says, pray for us that will speak the gospel bold. Are you there? Look at Hebrews 13, verse 5. For he has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We got that from where again? Joshua what? Remember. That you may boldly say. So everything God said to Joshua, he expected Joshua to say. Boldly say, the Lord is my help. And I will not fear what a man will do to me. That's exactly what Joshua was to say. No man shall be able to stand before you for the rest of your life. That you cannot be resisted. I dare say, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with me. You go to preach the gospel. I dare say, glory to God, God's power is walking with me. I dare say, the power of God is in my shadows. The power of God is in my path. I dare say. Don't think it. Say it. You say, it's in my mind. I'm just, it's in my mind. No! It's called parousia. Say it and dare to say. Hallelujah. Dare to say. In the midst of all danger, you say, the angels of God are here. You find the shooting going on. Back over. Oh, glory, the angels of God are here. Oh, the angels of God are here. They are preventing. I dare say. Don't think it. Say it. Say it. Say it. You say it. You dare say it. Praise God. Are you still there? So when you find yourself as a Christian, you cannot verbalize these things. You can't see them. Why? What could be happening? You can't even defend the faith. You can't defend the faith. You can't preach. You want to share the gospel with somebody because the guy is wealthy? You can't tell him that you need salvation. He says, you're just good to add going to church. So all these good things that you are doing. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Look at what they do. When you find yourself, you are weak or feeble or timid. The apostles, they had found out in Acts 4:13. They told them that they discovered that they were bold. They now threatened them. That means they increased the tempo of the persecution. See, the last time we slapped you, this time around, there will be no face to slap. The devil is only threatened. When they heard that, they now told the company. The Bible says they lifted up their voice in one accord. When you find your heart shaking, it means you have to pray more. Just pray more. They lifted up their voice, not just to think and say, but we have prayed. Why are they still threatening? We have prayed now. Why is this still happening? You've got to pray more! Prayer is not an event, it's pray as you go. Did you hear me? You pray as you go. Prayer is never enough. Prayer is not a season. Prayer is not one of the methods. Prayer is our lifestyle. They pray. They pray. Why do you think Jesus prayed in going to the cross? Why do you think he prayed? Was he praying for things? No. He's praying to carry out the will of God boldly. Hallelujah. You pray. You pray again. And they pray. Watch this. They pray. And the Bible says when they prayed, the place where they prayed was shaking. You know the kind of prayer? Just say, Adonai, I worship you, oh my God. They prayed and the place shook. They prayed. And the Bible says they went out and boldly preached the word. Well, you are not bold because you have not been praying. Or you are praying for money. They prayed. Behold that threat. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. And signs and wonders. You can't do signs and wonders without boldness. Because commanding evil to stop is boldness. Commanding sickness to go is boldness. Commanding demons to leave is to speak boldly. You are healed. Drop it. Drop your cross. Drop it now. Drop the stick. That's boldness. See, if I say it now, and it drops it, and nothing happens. Have you been praying? This is not strong will. Don't get it wrong. You can be shy. But this is not natural. This is supernatural. It comes from the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. He comes by the Spirit of God. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. I have what the world says I have. I can do what the world says I can do. They prayed. You're bold. Look at Acts 27. Whenever you find yourself full with tests and trials, check your prayer life. Check it. Prayer, above all things, is to keep us strengthened. That's strong. You can face the trial and you'll come out victorious because you are praying. Hallelujah. And because you are praying and because you will yet pray. You learning something? Matthew 26. Watch this. Verse 34. He said to Peter, I say unto you that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. People don't understand what Jesus was saying. Jesus said this, but it didn't have to happen. What Jesus said here is a prediction that didn't have to happen. Are you there? Look at Luke 22. Luke 22. We'll see the statement before that statement. Luke 22, 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. I am ready to die with you. And Lord said, I tell you, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. So, verse 34 is what Satan had, the number Satan had on Peter. Now, please, you need to get this. I want you to understand this very well. Go to Matthew 26 again. So when Jesus said it, it didn't have to happen. He now called them. He said, let's go. Let's go. To pray. Peter, James, and John. Sit here, verse 36, while I go and pray yonder. Then he came to them in 38. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Watch! Say, Master, we are here. WCC, Need of this is we fire for fire. We are here. And he slept back. Went to the toilet. Then he came to them in 40. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? That means 1 hour. Just pray. Look at the next verse. Watch and pray that you enter into what? Not the temptation. If Peter had prayed, he would never have denied the Lord. He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit that is willing is not their spiritual. It's what he desired for him. He said, but the flesh is weak. And he said, Master, we're going to pray. And he slept again. When he came in 43, he said, and he found them sleeping again. And their eyes were heavy. These guys are heavy sleepers. He left them, prayed, then he came back. Then he said in 45, sleep on now and take your rest. That is people. No matter who prays for you, if you don't pray for yourself, it won't have the same effect. Jesus now prayed for the after effect of Peter not praying. You have to pray for yourself. Are you following what I'm saying? You have to pray for it. If Peter had watched, Because when we pray, we are watching. The word watch there means to be alert. To be alert. To be vigilant. A trial is coming, be alert. It's the word Gregorio, G-R-E-G-O-R-E-O in the Greek. You watch, you are vigilant. I'll close here. So prayer makes me vigilant. I'm alert.
You watch yourself. You're falling for this one, falling for that one. Watch your prayer life. So the moment the test came, Peter was not bold. Ah, Ross, I know you. Me? No. I just came to Jerusalem. He wouldn't have said that if he had prayed. He'll have had words to return. He'll have known what to say. Prayer supplies us words. When we are praying, we have the right words. We are bold. You can be praying about things, praying against anything. That's not what we're talking about. Do you know that Jesus never told them what to pray about? This is what. Let's pray out the will of the Father together. Let's watch together. That we are bold in the day of judgment. That we are bold in the times of tests and trials. That when there's an opposition to our faith, we know what to say. We have a defense. Don't rely on your inner strength. You know, naturally, in my family, we are very strong-willed. No. It won't work for spiritual things. These are spiritual matters. Pray. Pray. When you find out you can no longer preach the gospel to some people, go and pray. Go and pray. You can't resist the things of the devil. Go and pray. You find you cannot resist temptations, tests, trials. You don't even know what to say. Go and pray. Pray. Every believer ought to declare the word of God boldly. Every believer ought to oppose every opponent of the gospel. Every believer ought to stand his ground on God's word. Every believer ought to stand his ground on his rights and privilege in Christ. But when that is not happening, go and pray. Colossians 4 and verse 2. You learning something? What if you had prayed? Many things happen when we don't pray. When you don't pray, you start to rationalize. Maybe if I do this, maybe if I do that, maybe if I do that, why not firstly pray? Refuse to rely on your wisdom. Refuse to rely on your experience. Refuse to rely on your mode of thinking. Let your strength be, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that I may boldly see. Let your strength in life be, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Let your strength in life be, the Holy Ghost lives in me. He gives me words to say. Let your strength in life be, I am what he says I am. I am who he says I am. I dare say I can never lose. I dare say I can never be defeated. I dare say I can never be discouraged. I dare say, let your strength be on what he said, not what you thought. How clever you are. Are you still there? Colossians 4. Oh, glory to God. Colossians 4, verse 2. Paul says, pray for us. Same thing. Continue in prayer, he says, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. The same word, Gregorio. Watch. Prayer is to watch.
to be alert. So I'm not caught unguarded. I'm not caught unawares. When it's time of fasting as a church, we're fasting today till Friday. Pray. Pray as you go. I love that statement by a friend of mine, Pastor Peter Labi. Pray as you go. Don't always look for a reason to pray. Pray as you go. Hallelujah. Just pray as you go. Boldness is yours. That confidence is yours. As you pray, you tap into those potentials, those abilities that you have in Christ. Look at the next verse. With all praying for us also, that God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, which I am in bonds, that I may make it manifest as it ought to. To make it manifest. To make it manifest as I ought to. Prayer makes me function in the will of God the way God wants me to do it. Supernatural boldness is a function of prayer. It's not a function of thinking. It's not a function of a strong will. Pray. Pray. Pray again. You are shy to declare the gospel. It's your prayer life. You cannot confidently speak the word. It's your prayer life. You can confess in church. But when life's issues come, you change your vocabulary. It's your prayer life. When you have studied the word, right? And you know the context and pretext, it's time to pray. So that you will both declare God's counsel in the midst of any opposition. That's why Paul says, he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands how be it in the spirit he speaks mysteries. In verse 4, he that speaks in tongues edifies himself. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. There's more to prayer than things. More to prayer than things. Now I sense in my heart that God has placed in many people righteous causes, things He wants you to do in ministry, in people's lives, to glorify Him in your nation, your country, your city, your town. It takes boldness to champion a righteous cause. The world is not going to welcome you. The world is not going to like what you're going to do. Satan is not going to sit back and watch you do it. But you know what? When we pray, we are bold. When we pray, we are bold. And we put the word of God on our lips and say, I dare say, this nation is taken for Jesus. I dare say, the sickness is healed. I dare say Satan's hold is broken. I dare say men will speak like that. And men who know enough to pray to declare what they know. Supernatural boldness comes from that place of fellowship. Fellowship of prayer. Where you pray without ceasing. You pray always. You pray as you go. No reason to pray. You're praying in the Holy Ghost. Preparing yourself. Because temptation will always come. Tests and trials will always come. But you know what? We are fully armed. Fully guarded. Fully secure. When we pray. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost, church. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Boldness is mine. I boldly declare the word. I boldly declare the counsel of God. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. We fulfill God's will and purpose in the earth.